Well, good evening. Good to see so many people out tonight. Glad to see those that we didn't see this morning. We're glad you're with us. This evening's lesson is entitled Approved for Eternal Life. And the word approved is in quotes, not the whole phrase. Taking our text from James chapter 1 and verse 12 and 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 is a passage that tells us to examine everything carefully. 2 Corinthians 13:5, we're going to be looking at that as well, says examine yourselves. The idea behind tonight's lesson is the word examine or approved. And we're going to see that in many places they are the same word. What I intend for us to do this evening is to do kind of a word study. I don't know about you and how many of you enjoy word studies, but I found that I had a love of word studies going back to my French classes. I took French in college, and what I was fascinated to find out is a lot of those words that for me was learning for the first time, found out they were Latin-based. And not only were they Latin-based, but because they were Latin-based, they had kind of a relationship with other words and other languages, such as Spanish and Italian and many other places. And it was interesting to learn some of the etymology of where our English words came from. And so I kind of was the beginning for me. Then later, as I began learning Hebrew and Greek and putting that into my biblical studies, I found that I had that same love of learning the history of a word or the meaning behind a word and all the different ways and uses for it. You could open a dictionary and look up many English words, and it's not surprising to find sometimes 30 or more meanings behind that English word. Well, in the Greek and Hebrew, it's the same thing. You could look into a Greek word, and it might have 12 different ways that word is used. And so it's interesting when we go through a study and see why did the translators translate a certain word the way that they did. Tonight, the word that we're going to be looking at is from these two texts, James chapter 1 and verse 12, and 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. While they are not the same word, the word in James chapter 1:12 is kind of the parent or root word, we'd say, over the word in 1 Thessalonians 5:21. And we'll talk about that in just a second. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." And 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, "But examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good." The word there in James, approved, comes from the Greek word dokimos, or dokimos. I've heard it pronounced two different ways. I'm not exactly sure, but I think it's dokimos. Strong's 1384. It means acceptable, approved, and tried. Looking at vines or Thayer in the way that they say this word is ultimately used, this is the word that is, in the context, tells us this is after you've been tried and have been proved acceptable, or the other word that simply remains approved, right? So that is the root word of the word used there in 1 Thessalonians 5:21. The word that says examine everything carefully is dokimazo, 1381, Strong's 1381, and it's taken from dokimas. It means to test, literally or figuratively, to try, to examine, to prove, having approved, having tested and tried, to show to be acceptable. And the way the King James renders this word is to allow, discern, examine, prove, or approve, and try. So they're very similar. And in fact, dokimazo can mean the same thing as dokimos in the right context. Something that has already been proven. Right? That's what dokimos means. But dokimazo is usually used of going through the trials while you are being tested. In order to be approved, you have to stand the test. Just to give us an idea, and we're not going to spend time on these passages tonight, but I want to show you other uses of the word dokimazo, and as we get into our study this evening. 1 John 4:1 says, "Test the spirits to see if they're from God." This means to examine them, to prove them, right? If they are saying they are from God, then we ought to be able to test it against what God has said and see if that is so. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says, "We have been approved." King James says, "Allowed." "We speak not as pleasing men, but God who examines." King James uses the word "trieth" or "tries" our hearts. And so allowed or tries, approved, examined, it goes back to that idea of being tested and putting to the test those things that we need to do. So we have been approved when we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts. He's going to test our hearts. We have to stand the test. Philippians 1, 9-10 says that you may approve the things that are excellent. How do we know if they're excellent? They have been tried, right? They have been proven. They have been examined. So in order for us to approve those things, here's a way that dokimazo means what dokimos means, that it after having been tried. Well, how do we know that? Because we know that they're excellent. And so then we approve of those things. We are to examine everything carefully, it says, so that we may hold on to that which is good. Not good according to man, but good according to God. That is, we're talking about what is righteousness. We can examine doctrines of men that same way, holding them up to the standard of God and see how they stand the test. As we examine, we need to remember that God examines our hearts. Are we truly looking for truth as we examine these things, or are we looking to validate our own opinions, our own biases? And so are we reading into these things the things that we want to hear? We need to be careful. We need to remember, as we examine, God is examining us. So we need to examine and approve of excellent things to be proved sincere and blameless before God. So as we look through tonight's lesson, we must see that we must examine everything carefully to be approved by God and approved for eternal life. That's what James 1:12 says. We must endure, for after one has been approved, then the crown of life will be given. The crown of life is not given while we're being tested. It is given after we have been approved on the other side of those trials. So we need to be approved for eternal life. We're going to look at just a few ways this word is used. One of the ways we see it is it says, test yourselves or examine yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Are we in the right faith? Are we serving God the way God would have us to do it? It says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? This is that word, dokimazo. I'm not going to point it out and tell you the Strong's number every single time we see it. Just suffice, in these passages that we look at, when the word is all in caps in a different color, like examine here, that's that word, dokimazo. That's Strong's 1381. I know many of you have shared with me that you have downloaded different software programs on your devices, some of which have the Hebrew and Greek lexicons or dictionaries. So I give that Strong's number so you can look at that or click on that word and test or examine me. So you can see if I'm teaching you what I ought to be teaching. But self-examination is important. We can know if we're doing what is right, if we're doing good according to God's standard, by examining ourselves according to the standard of the Scriptures, not according to one another. So many times we have the false standard. We want to examine ourselves against one another. Sometimes we want to examine ourselves against those in the world and say, well, I'm not as bad as they are. Well, that's the false standard. The standard is God's Word. The standard is Jesus Christ. It might be easy to point at someone else and say, well, I'm not like them. Remember who else did that? Jesus told the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. That's what the Pharisee did. He pointed at the tax collector in a prayer to God and said, I'm so thankful that I'm not like this guy. That's the wrong standard, right? We're to examine ourselves, not according in comparison to one another, to any other person. We're to examine ourselves in accordance with what God has said. That is the true test and measure of our hearts. And so as we use the Scriptures to prove or test ourselves to see if we are in the faith, we'll prove another point. We'll prove the Lord's commandments. 1 Corinthians 14, 37-38. Go ahead and turn there with me. I have that on the slide as another passage to look at in conjunction with this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, starting in verse 37. He says, if anyone thinks he's a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the things which I write to you are the Lord's commandment. But if anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. So we need to see that we are abiding by the commandments of the Lord when we examine ourselves. And we need to do that to know if we're going to be approved or not. He's saying, if just because you think you're a prophet, just because you think you're spiritual, doesn't make it so. You need to examine yourself to see if that's right. Self-approval should only come when we are approved according to God's standard. Before we pat ourselves on the back and say, yeah, you're good, we need to make sure that we are good, we are right, we are correct in accordance with the Lord's commandments. 2 Corinthians 10:18 tells us it is God who commends. That is, that word approves. We can pat ourselves on the back all we want, but if God has not approved us, then we will truly fail the test. We need to be careful about the standard that we use to make sure that we are in the right. So we must examine ourselves that we might be approved by God. Do you remember in this morning's lesson we talked about the rulers who believed in Jesus from John chapter 12, 42 to 43? They love the approval of men or the praise of men rather than the praise or the approval of God. They were willing to pat themselves on the back in comparison with all their peers rather than seek the approval of God. Let us not ever be guilty of doing that. The next thing we want to look at in our word study on dokimazo is prove the sincerity of your love. 2 Corinthians 8:8 says, I'm not speaking this as a command, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also. We can say that we love, but we see it's in our actions. It's something that our spouse can prove, something our children can prove or test, something our parents can prove or test, something our friends and our loved ones that we say we love you, it's something they can prove or test to see if it's in word or is it in deed. In 2 Corinthians 8:24, Paul says, in giving their financial support to the saints in Jerusalem, the Corinthian church would show them the proof of their love. Now this wasn't him trying to guilt them into anything. If you were to go back into 1 Corinthians chapter 8, you find that they had made a promise to send funds to the Jerusalem saints. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, he's telling them it's been a year. They had never fulfilled that promise. Now, they didn't have to promise anything. But once they had made that promise, he was telling them, you need to fulfill that promise. And that when they send their financial support to the saints in Jerusalem, having pledged that a year before, they would then show them the proof of their love. They would not just be saying, be warm and be filled, as James says not to do, right? They would be showing them the proof of their love. They pledged support, not just we're going to pray for you, but they pledged monetary support and had not fulfilled that yet. Paul is telling them, the whole of chapters 8 and 9 is telling them to prove their love by doing what they said they were going to do. Our love can and will be tested by others. Do we mean what we say? Do we mean what we say when we tell one another we love you? If we say, call me for anything, let me know if there's anything I can do for you. We love you, we're thinking of you, we miss you. What happens when that is put to the test? Are we there for them? Do we do what we said we would do? Our true and sincere love will be shown in action. When you think of 1 John 3:17, 18, he talks about seeing our brother or sister in need. And when we have the means, the ability to provide that, and what happens if we don't truly love them. So our love is seen in action toward others. In John 14, 15 and verse 23, love for Christ is seen in our obedience to his word. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. There are so many people in the world today who say that they love Jesus. They claim that they belong to him, they know him, they love him. But when you point out in a Bible study how to obey the gospel, or that they're doing something that is not found in Scripture, they say, yeah, I see that, but I'm going to do it this way because someone told me this. Or I'm going to do it this way because it makes me happy. How often do we hear the excuse, well, it makes me happy and God wants me to be happy, and so if it makes me happy, therefore it must make God happy. That's failing the test to examine your love. That's failing the test to examine yourself. Love for Christ is seen in our obedience to his word. Even when it's unpleasant, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's something we may not fully understand or something we don't want to do. That's where submission comes in. That's where he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. How can we tell him we love him? How can we say, Lord, Lord, and then not do what he said? As he says in Luke chapter 6. In 2 Timothy 2:15, love of truth, that is the word of God, is seen in how we study it. Do we study it? Do we be diligent to be a workman who does not need to be ashamed? Do we study it enough that when we speak it, we can accurately divide it or rightly divide it, accurately handle it? In James chapter 1:12, love for God is seen in how we endure for Him. After endurance. Go back to the early part of James. James chapter 1, we read verse 12 earlier. Look in the first part of James, starting in verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. That testing of our faith produces endurance. So that he's able to say in verse 12, he says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So what does it mean to love him? To keep his commandments. It's not enough to say, I love him, but then live my life however I see fit, expecting that one day Jesus is going to give me a pat on the back saying, well, it made you happy, and so I'll be happy for you. No, that's not what love is. If we truly love him, we're going to follow his word. If we love him, we're going to endure through those trials, because nothing in this life is worth taking us away from him. We will be approved for that crown of life. So, in proving the sincerity of our love, we must prove our love so that we'll be approved by God. We also need to prove what the will of God is. From Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. To prove what the will of God is to live differently than the world. It's not to live according to their standard. It's a transformation by the renewing of one's mind. We talked this morning about Christianity as a higher calling. That when we obey the gospel, there's an expectation for us to live a certain way, different from the rest of the world around us. That's in one way we prove what the will of God is. We prove it not by our words, but by our action. There's an old phrase that says, practice what you preach, right? Or the proof is in the pudding. It all means it's in our actions. We can say that we're faithful. We can say we love God. But if we're not doing what he said to do, if we're not living a righteous life according to his standard, when our life is put to the test, we'll fail it. If we're living in a different way, we need to prove what the will of God is. We prove it by action. Ephesians 5:7-11 says, no longer to live in darkness, but walk as lights. In fact, this is the passage that says, expose the evil deeds of darkness. Remember, light does two things to the dark. It will illuminate, so it'll give light and chase the darkness and the shadows away. And thus doing, it exposes whatever was hidden in the dark. Right? So it illuminates and exposes. Here, as lights to the world, we're told to no longer be of darkness. And through our actions, through our lives, being those lights, we're to expose the evil deeds of darkness. Ephesians 6:5-8, talking about whether you're slave or free, we must do the will of God from the heart. It's not something that anyone else can force us to do. It's something we must want to do. And that goes back to Jesus saying, if you love me, you will keep my word. You will keep my commandments. We ought to, out of love, prove what the will of God is in our lives. Not out of compunction, not because someone else told us it's what's expected of us, but because we want to please God. In 2 Corinthians 6:14-18, just as it was once told the Israelites, it was repeated here to Christians, Paul says to the saints living in Corinth, come out from their midst and be separate. He's saying, come out from the world, don't be unclean as they are. Remember again, they're not the standard for if we're right. The world is not our standard. Not even one another is our standard for, well, I don't make the mistakes brother or sister so-and-so make, therefore I must be okay. No, we examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith. We examine ourselves according to the standard God has given. How do you measure up to Jesus? Now it's different. When I look at myself and I look at Jesus, no one else, that's when I see my faults. That's when I see my failings. He says, come out from their midst and be separate. We can't just judge the world and say, well, I'm not like them. We have to come out from them. We have to stand out. And that's difficult because a lot of people don't want to stand out. They don't want the attention put on them. And when you stand against the darkness of the world and you be that shining light, you are going to stand out. You will draw attention to yourself. That's difficult for some people. They don't like to stand out. And for the most part, when we're in a crowd, sometimes we don't want people to notice us. But that's what happens to Christians. When you take a stand for what is right, when you come out of their midst and you are separate, you are holy, you are different, they're going to take notice. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1-6 says we need to live according to the will of God, which is sanctification. That's the Old Testament word for holy. To be pure and unstained by the world. That's difficult to do. Because sometimes we have the wrong standards in mind. Well, I'm not like them. And we're not really holy like Jesus. But we're somewhere in between and we get comfortable with that. That's not the right standard. We have to come out from their midst. Be separate. And live separate according to the will of God. How do we know what the will of God is? By testing it. By proving it. And then living it. The way we live our lives proves the will of God to the world around us. Again, practice what you preach, and others will see the will of God in your life the same as you can read it in the scriptures and apply it to your own life. Sometimes that's as simple as people asking you to engage in things that you ought not, or maybe you once did. Maybe that's that time when the work o'clock whistle blows and tells you it's time to go home. And they say, hey, let's stop by the bar and get a drink on the way home. Our wives can spare us for a few minutes. You might have done that before. That might have been part of your life. And your friends are saying, let's go do that again. Remember how much fun we had. And that's when you have to say, no, I can't do that. I won't do that. I'm different. We can't do that. They're going to notice that. That's why 1 Peter 4 says, your friends notice that you don't do the same things that you once did, and so they malign you. Sometimes your friends are going to speak evil of you because you no longer do what they do. Sometimes they'll understand. Sometimes they'll be curious enough to ask you why not, and you have an open door to share the gospel with them and perhaps save their souls too. And we're told to examine our own work. This might be a passage we don't like because it's easier to examine other people's work. Right? It's easier to judge other people's lives. Well, if only you were doing this. If only you were doing that. And sometimes for them, they're looking at you going, have you looked at yourself? Have you looked at your own life? That's why Galatians 6:4 says, but each one must examine his own work. That is to approve or to test. And then he'll have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. Again, so easy to make someone else the standard for whether we are in the right or not, or how good we might look to ourselves, right? Well, I don't have the problems of so-and-so, so I must be doing something right. No, take a look at your own life. Take a look, examine your own work. There is cause for rejoicing when our works have been proved. Look in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. The full context here goes back to verse 11 about the grace of God appearing to bring salvation to all men. And then tells us it instructs us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. And it tells us to add to our lives, as we take those things away or deny them, we add to our lives sensible, righteous, and godly living. And then he says in verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed, and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. There is cause for rejoicing when, after examining our work, and we can know we have denied that ungodliness, we've denied unworldliness, and we're living according to God's standard, there is cause for rejoicing. It's not bad to say that we're doing what's right and be happy about that, because we know what is laid up for us in the future when we are doing what is right. This examining is done by measuring ourselves, our works, by Christ's word and examples. In 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, tells us to be approved by God, we must examine how we live by God's word, not by others, else we'll be proved to be unwise or foolish. Let's go ahead and look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. It says, we are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves. But when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding. He says, but we will not boast beyond our measure, but within the measure of the sphere which God apportioned to us in a measure to reach even as far as you. He says, we're not those that are going to compare themselves to themselves or to others. Sometimes we use ourselves as the standard. I pointed out that it's easy to use other people as the standard. Sometimes we use ourselves as the standard. Well, I'm doing really good, right? I'm doing all right, so much so that I don't have any changes to make. And then we need to remember what James said in James chapter 1 about the man who looked in the mirror and then walked away and forgot what he saw. God's word is that standard by which we can see how God sees us. It doesn't matter how other people see us. It doesn't even really matter if how we see ourselves, as much as it matters that we see how God sees us. Are we doing what is right? When we examine ourselves, can we say there's no room for improvement? Or do we see those areas that need improvement and we tackle them? And we tackle them with the same gusto that we ought to have, knowing that our souls depend on it. To be approved by God, we must examine how we live by God's word, not by others, and not even by our own measure of standard. Romans 10, 1-3 tells us that the Jews did not submit to God's standard of righteousness, but instead, Paul says, they created their own. And they were zealous for that, but not according to God's understanding, not according to God's knowledge. And how easy it is for us to point our fingers at the Jews and say, yeah, Paul, that's right, while we ourselves are doing the same thing. We need to make sure that we are not creating our own standard or measure of righteousness, holding ourselves and everyone else to it, while at the same time missing the mark of what God said is right. We need to make sure that when we examine ourselves with God's standard in mind. Romans chapter 2, verse 16 tells us we're going to be held to the standard of Christ. He is that standard. He is the one that we measure ourselves up against, not anyone else. Examining our works will tell us if our zeal is according to God or if it's from ourselves. And if we see, like the Jews, it's from ourselves, we need to go back to examining God's word that we can prove what the will of God is in our own lives. And we are to prove in order to be acceptable. The last thing we're going to look at is from Romans 14, 16 to 18. Now this word, the words previous to this, have all been dokimazo. This is different. As we close, it's kind of where we began and where we're starting. In James chapter 1 and verse 12, the word was dokimos, where the word we get dokimazo from, that means to be tested or to try or to test or to prove and examine. This word here in Romans 14 is dokimos, that means approved. And starting in verse 16, therefore do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. That idea of being accepted by God and approved is from this root word in the Greek, dokimos. It means after having been tried, the test is done. And now we're looking at the finalized or finished results. And we're saying it's acceptable to God and approved by men. The way we serve Christ, we will be approved by men in order to be acceptable by God. Paul said he wrote to test or prove the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 2:9. He said he wanted to test their obedience. Some don't prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect, but instead they do not see fit to acknowledge God any longer. See Romans 12:2 and also Romans 1:28 and see what society looks like when you have people no longer desiring to serve God but serve their own interests. Paul tried to have a blameless conscience both before God and men in Acts 24 and verse 16. in a few weeks, a couple weeks from now, a few weeks, we're going to be looking at this statement from Paul in Acts 24:16 and see what he means about having a clear or pure conscience before God and men. And so this kind of leads into that lesson in a couple weeks coming up. But that our lives will be the proof of our faith, our love and obedience to God, and our love for others. Our life will be that finalized examination. We'll either be approved by men or approved by God. One way or the other, we're going to face that final examination. Our lives and faith must be proved in order to be acceptable to God. We have to endure the trials then. We must go through the testing. We must go through the trying and come out on top, on the other side, having been approved. So the question this evening, after looking at the word for examine or prove, is how will you stand the test when you are tried? Remember our study last week on Naomi and Ruth. Both were tested after losing their husbands. Both were tested after having lost everything in Moab. Naomi said it when she, in Ruth chapter 1, 20 to 21, she said, "I went out full and I am coming back empty." And so she said, "Don't call me Naomi," which means pleasant. "Call me Mara," that means bitter. She said, "Don't call me something nice. Call me bitter." And it tells us her attitude on life. But we see that despite all of that, they put themselves in the care of God's providence. They trusted in Him, and they both were blessed for it. In fact, we can see the beginning at the end of Ruth of that of Naomi being coming full once again. Where the ladies of the town, when she gave birth, when Ruth and Boaz gave birth to their son, they gathered around Naomi and they said, "Ruth is better to you than seven sons. And this child is now going to be your source of strength and comfort and will fill you up." They put their trust and hope in God. It might have looked absolutely hopeless. When they came back to Israel, when she said, "I left out full and came back empty, don't call me pleasant, call me bitter." That is terrible. It's sad. It pulls at your heartstrings. We can put ourselves in their position and see the grief and the sorrow that they had. But they stood up to that test. And they were approved and blessed for it. James chapter 1, verse 12. We began with it. We're going to end with it. We must endure. For after one has been approved, that's when the crown of life will be given. Notice again, it says, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial." That's perseverance. That's that endurance he says we need, going back to the beginning of the chapter in 2 through 3. That we must have that endurance to be made complete. He says, for once he's been approved, that's not always pleasant. To undergo that trial, to be tested and tried. But he says, once he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. The King James says, "For when he is tried, he will receive the crown of life." The English Standard says, "For when he has stood the test, he'll receive the crown of life." All of these convey that Greek word, dokimos. It means acceptable, approved, tried. After one has been approved, the crown of life will be given, not before. This lifetime is our trial. It's the trial, it's the being tested part. We need to remember that as we examine ourselves, as we examine our own works. We know our works. Others are going to see the way that we live. And we might be strange to them. They might pick on you for that. 1 Peter chapter 4 tells us not to think it strange when they do that, because they're going to see something different in you. You're going to stand out. You're going to be holy and blameless, different and set apart from the rest of the world. You know your works. Others are going to see the way you live, how you put it into practice, and God will see your heart. God will examine your heart. We are to examine everything carefully, because one day we will be examined by God. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "We will all, the small and the great, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Jesus." We will stand before that judgment seat, and it says, "Be recompensed for our deeds in the body, whether good or bad." One day we're going to stand before Him. We're going to give an account for all that we have done. Romans 14, verse 12 tells us we're going to give an account for everything that we have done, whether good or bad. So the question tonight is, will we be approved for eternal life by God at that final examination? Or will we be found wanting? Will we fail that test? Out of all the tests we take in life, that's the one we cannot fail. Our souls depend on it, that we pass that test of life, that having endured, having been approved, we will be approved by God and approved for eternal life. If you're not a Christian tonight, you need to be. To repent and be baptized following His prescription, not man's, not others' opinions, but what Jesus Himself said needs to happen in order to be saved. To repent and be baptized. If you are a Christian in error tonight, not living the way that you should, perhaps not being the example or the influence of light in the dark world that others need to see in you, now's the time to recognize that, to correct it, and to be renewed. If you're subject to an invitation in any way, and if we can help you in any way, come forward and let it be known now while we stand and while we sing.